from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome to the program. The Reverend Ian Brown occupies his regular Wednesday morning slot, and he's here to tell us how to understand the Bible. That message after we hear these words in song.
Be a growing Christian until you have a solid knowledge of the Word of God. Good morning, I'm Ian Brown, and in our message this morning we're going to set out a few guidelines that will help you study and understand the greatest book in the world, God's Holy Word. But before we get into the message, let's read a few words that are very relevant to our subject today, how to understand the Bible, from the New Testament book of James. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Those words in the book of James were written to show how to become Christians. We're told to receive with meekness the word of God because it can save our souls. The Bible tells mankind the only way in which both the guilt and the punishment of sin may be removed is to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. This book of God also shows us how to live as Christians. It advises us as to how to develop a relationship with God. James encourages us to receive the word, which literally means to welcome the word into our lives. If we really want to understand the Bible, we need to welcome the Word. We need to open our hearts and our minds to the Lord and allow Him to speak to us through His Word. As I worked my way through this passage in James, I discovered that it offers us four ways which will help us to understand the Word of God better. Way number one is this: welcome the Word with a repentant heart. When James writes in verse 21, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," he's teaching that there is a moral qualification to understand the Bible. We tend to think that a person needs a bit of education or maybe some theological training before he'll ever be able to study the Bible. But James said that there's something much more important than that. In studying the Bible, we need to bring a special moral quality to that study. It's not enough to have an intellectual mind. You must bring purity of heart. He says to put aside all filthiness. That's deliberate sin against God. This word translated filthiness has an interesting word that's closely related to it that means earwax. So the picture is this. We need to clean out our ears and clean out our lives, of course, so that we can hear the Lord speaking to us. For the Christian, sin in the life is likened to wax in the ears of a musician. You can't hear clearly with it in, so you'd best clean it out. James is emphasising the fact that the reason many people don't understand the Bible is that they don't come to it with clean lives. Before you come to the Scriptures, it's important that you make a full confession of sin and ask God to search your heart to see if there's any wickedness in it. First, you get your heart clean, then you open the Word. All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness must be dealt with. If you're a gardener, you'll know it's important to always pull the weeds before you plant new seeds. As one who wants to know the Bible, it's imperative that we clean our hearts of the weeds of sin before looking to the Lord to plant seeds of truth in our lives. So we need to welcome the Word with a repentant heart. But then secondly, another way to approach Bible study is we need to welcome the Word with a receptive heart. I like how James puts it. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Meekness means having a teachable spirit. When you break a horse, you don't cripple its legs, you control its spirit. You can take a stallion full of fire and strength and break its spirit so that it's meek. It still has its strength, but now that strength is under control, so that you can put a bit and a bridle on it, saddle it up and ride. Meekness is really that strength under control. In the same way, God wants to break us and put us under his authority. He wants to make us sensitive to his leadership, ready at any time to respond to the commands of our master. Rather than following our own will, we are following the will of God. Now, we have this tendency to think that the mind is the most important aspect in learning Scripture. But God thinks the will is more important. He'd rather have an uneducated, obedient man than a willful, stubborn scholar. Jesus said, if any man will do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine. You'll find that in John chapter 7 and verse 17. In other words, you learn God's truth not just by studying, but by obeying God. That's what it means to have a receptive spirit. So if we want to learn the Word of God today, we must be clean and we must have a teachable spirit. To really know our Bible, we must welcome the Word with a receptive heart. Then thirdly, as well as welcoming the Word with a repentant heart and a receptive heart, we need to welcome the Word with a responsive heart. James warns us to be doers of the Word, and not merely hearers. Verse 22 of chapter 1, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Once we surrender our will and begin to understand the Scripture, we'll obey what God teaches us. If we don't respond to what we hear, the Bible says, we're being self-deceived. No man is a bigger fool than the man who's deceiving himself. There are people in churches, you know, who come in, sit down in the pew, they hear the truth, they shout hallelujah even, but they never get around to act upon that truth. I'm not putting too fine a point on it when I say this morning that that sort of person is a fool, because Jesus said that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, he's on record as saying, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." In Luke 11, verse 28, the Lord said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." It's not enough to hear the truth. We have to put it into practice. I once heard about a famous British actor working in a crowded theatre. A small fire broke out in the wings of the theatre. To keep the people from panicking, that actor went out on stage and asked for everyone's attention. Then he told them, using his wonderful stage voice, how a small fire had broken out and there was plenty of time for everyone to leave safely, and he asked them to vacate the theatre. Do you know what those people did? They applauded, then sat back and waited for more. That's the perfect picture of a fool. He hears the truth, he applauds the truth when he hears it, but he doesn't do anything about it. I've always found as Christian that the best way to gain understanding to the parts of the Bible I don't understand is to obey the parts I do understand. There's usually more than enough to keep me busy there. Why would God reveal further truth to a man who hasn't acted upon the truth he's already received? A study of the Bible gives you knowledge about God, but obedience to the Bible gives you knowledge of God. Our Lord Jesus once said, John chapter 14 and verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." The bottom line is that if you don't keep Christ's commands, you don't really love him. If you want to understand the Bible, we need to respond to it in obedience. We need to come to this book with a repentant heart, with a receptive heart, with a responsive heart, and also with a reflective heart. There are many word pictures that we can use to describe the Bible. We can refer to it as a hammer, a sword, a lamp, bread, or even the seed. James uses a different one to all of those and calls it a myrrh. Verses 23 to 25, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." It's the myrrh. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This mirror of the Word of God offers you a reflection of yourself. When you look into it, it reveals what you're like. Now, James pictures two people who come to the mirror and look at themselves. The first one takes a quick glance at himself, then goes his way and forgets completely what he saw. Now, his hair isn't combed, he's cut himself with a razor, he's got a black smudge on his forehead, but that man's so busy that he leaves for the office, and he leaves looking ridiculous. James alleges that some people approach the study of the Bible like that. They give it a casual glance, don't like what they see about themselves, but just set it down and go on with life anyway. However, James imagines a second man, who doesn't casually glance in the mirror, but gives himself a careful and studied gaze. He makes sure he looks neat, that his tie's straight, that all the buttons are in, that he doesn't have any tissue paper stuck to the nick that he gave himself when he was shaving. That's the way we are to approach Bible study. We are to gaze into it carefully, see what the book reveals about ourselves, and put that information to use. If you want to understand the Bible, that's how you must approach it. Then, you'll view this book as John Fawcett did. How wonderful that book divine, by inspiration given, bright as a lamp, its doctrines shine to guide our souls to heaven. Its light descending from above, our sin-sick world to cheer, displays a Saviour's boundless love and brings his glories near. It shows to man his wandering ways and where his feet have trod, and brings to view the matchless grace of our forgiving God. It lights our path, it lifts our hearts along the upward way. It life and joy and peace imparts till dawn's eternal day.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.